They're places of history, commerce, trade, agriculture, entertainment. And of course, you know, don't forget the fair. Lots of fun at the fair. But our fairgrounds in Montana are places that we use for year-round purposes, as I mentioned, commerce and trade. And, you know, there's always this historic connection to them as well. Major renovations expected for fairground complexes in two of Montana's largest communities, Missoula and Billings. And today, we're going to take a closer look at those renovation proposals and weigh the costs and benefits on Voices of Montana.
On the Northern News Network, it's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
Thank you very much. I hope you guys are doing good. We've hung in there. It is this Friday, right? Only two more working days this week. But nonetheless, for those who don't work 7 days a week, and I don't know who that is anymore, you've hung in, and now you have a Montana weekend to hang out in. Lots of hunting going on, lots of other fun to be had. Thank you. Good job. Enjoy the weekend. And thanks for being here. Two decades strong, working on three. That objective perspective is Voices of Montana. And I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. We've got a lot to talk about here, as I mentioned, some of these fairground complexes. Take a look at those. But it's Halloween coming up. It's not really a big huge holiday for me. We'll have some fun here with Halloween. And let me welcome our guest here today. As we talk about, first of all, it's the Heritage Campaign, the Missoula County Fairgrounds. This started back in 2016, I think, when they first started really looking. And I've been a part of the Missoula community for a lot of years. And I know for a lot of years, they were looking at trying to understand what their, what their purpose is, what their opportunities, what their options were for their fairgrounds. And they've kind of moved some things along. Let's just welcome our guests here. And there's three of them. So hello to all. Emily Brock is with us. She's the Director of Economic and Land Development and Director of the Missoula County Fairgrounds. Emily, how you doing?
Good morning, Tom.
Do you have a big bag of Halloween candy that you're afraid you're not going to be able to give all out this weekend?
No, I have three children under 9 years old.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Halloween is magical in my house.
Yep, that's right. Yep. Billy Ayers is with us too. She's the Events and Operations Manager for the Western Montana Fair. Billy, how are you in Halloween?
I'm doing good. I'm great.
And Bob Burns, Missoula Market President for Stockman Bank, also chairman of the Missoula Fairgrounds Foundation Board, also chairs the Missoula Downtown Association Board, and very active there. Bob, you and I have been acquainted. I've done some Grizzly sports over the years, and I know you're a huge fan. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great this morning. Thanks, Tom, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Let's start, Emily, with the fairgrounds. Okay, take us back. The discussion about, man, we've got to plan for something more. And I think there's a lot of places in Montana that are sort of looking at the fairgrounds. I know the Flathead did that recently. Lewis and Clark County, they've got some historic buildings there. Talk about the process of getting everybody on board. And then when you start looking at all these options, there's a ton of them on the table.
Yeah, we did have a pretty extensive planning process that actually began before my tenure. But starting in about 2016, the community really was pointed in the same direction. Folks really understood that preserving a place of community connection that renews curiosity in our rural roots will ensure that our most iconic, you know, Western Montana traditions live on for future generations. And so they started to be pointed in the same direction. And the vision shared by our community and stakeholders is to build a revitalized fairgrounds that bridges our urban vibrancy and our rural heritage and safeguards our food security. So in a little bit, I think, you know, we'll talk about what the plan entails. But in terms of the background, you know, the fairground site at Missoula was bought in 1913 by Missoula County, and it was surrounded by farmland. And so now, as Missoula's transformed into a metropolitan area with a population pushing 120,000 and growing really fast, just like Billings and the rest of Montana, our fairgrounds is really centrally located with a variety of uses. So our challenge is to prioritize our steadfast traditions and our signature event, the fair, and then have a year-round use, which we are, you know, well on our way to doing.
And Billy, I want to have you follow up on that year-round use, because as events and operations manager, and I see from some of the literature here as well, you guys had a really good Western Montana Fair this last year. You look at incorporating what the fairgrounds offers into what the community needs, how do you move that forward? How do you plan for meeting not only today's needs in the community, but future needs down the road?
We are doing a lot of things. Of course, we start with where we are right now. You know, we have 4-H and FFA really strong here at the Missoula County Fairgrounds. But we are looking for opportunities as well to expand those roles that we have with our youth into what can they do as careers after they leave. So, you know, how do you stay connected to agriculture and specifically for Western Montana, where it's more small acreage than it is in Eastern Montana? So we're examining all those roles of bringing and working with the different breed associations, different clinics, trade shows, sport associations. There's so many new disciplines in the equine world, you know, with the range cow horse, ranch rodeo, team penning. Then the educational part, even for beyond, you know, livestock with working dogs, we've got a lot of ideas. And then as well, how do we add in the benefits of livestock in the world of therapies, mm-hmm. and health? So we think there's a ton of opportunities to utilize our new spaces for the community and add value.
Bob Burns, I guess you get the financial questions here as Missoula Market President of Stockman Bank, but also Chair of the Missoula Fairgrounds Foundation Board. What is most needed? What's the process of putting all the funds together, not just to build for renovations, but for also adequate management and for planning for more events where there's potential to impact the community even more?
Yeah, Tom, so, you know, I'm certainly excited to lead the charge and the effort when I was asked to do so. And it's an easy project to rally around for the community. As Emily mentioned, it's time to reinvest in our fairgrounds, you know, right in the heart of Missoula. It's a big commerce driver to Western Montana. And really what's in front of us is a goal of $4 million that we've started to go out to the community and make those asks and ask business leaders and people around Missoula to reinvest in our fairgrounds, because the time has come. It's time for us to do something, and we've got a great deal of momentum, and I'm excited to, as I said, lead that charge and get us to that goal. So with that, Stockman Bank has jumped in at the forefront of this and contributed $150,000 to the project. You know, we certainly see it as a critical piece to protect our Western heritage and inspire our youth with new facilities that are long overdue.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate that too. Emily, let's talk about maybe some of those figures, but also paint that picture for us, what that vision can be in terms of whether it's more renovation. I know you guys are looking at more year-round opportunities for events and also agricultural and rodeo events.
Yeah, so I think the easiest way for me to kind of explain it is to talk about how it's been phased. So we are halfway done with phase one, and that phase one was really taking care of what we had. The facilities were really dilapidated, and you know, these were facilities built in 1915, our historic commercial building built, you know, by old, you know, historic famous architects. And so we invested in our grounds, and we focused on renovating the pieces that we have. And the county did spend its money from its own general fund to do that. And so that was about $15 million. And we renovated the historic commercial and culinary buildings. We did have a new historic plaza. We had no sewer and no water here. So, or I should say the water was inadequate and the sewer was septic to unknown, you know, septic tanks, probably cars buried in the ground. The fairgrounds used to be built on a handshake deal. You know, it's built by volunteers. And so we want to professionalize it and really turn the corner moving forward with technology. And so we put in all of that infrastructure. We also built new concessions. Our concessions were unsafe. They were a fire hazard and they were a health hazard. And so we have brand new concessions and we put in a ton, you know, the future is food trucks. And so we put in a ton of RV pedestals. So we put through that first piece. And the second half of phase one is the new home, the new office space for the weed district and the county extension office. And we're also going to have a new butterfly house and insectarium, the first in Montana of its kind. And so the money for the butterfly house and the insectarium was raised privately. And the money for the weed district and the county extension office has kind of been squirreled away by those departments for a long time. And so that is broken ground and should be done in about 18 months. So that's phase one. And so the Heritage Campaign is really focused on phase two, which really the Heritage Campaign focuses on our agricultural traditions. And so right now our 4-H kids share a space with our ice sports, which is inadequate for both, and neither program can grow. And so our 4-H and FFA are doing so great. You know, we know that they can use a space year-round for their lessons. And for their programming. And so we have developed a new livestock center and then a new arena and grandstands. This year at the fair, we were picked up by the Cowboy Channel. Our rodeo is off the hook. It was sold out. We just think that it's, you know, I love the frickin' rodeo. And so we want to use that arena and grandstands year round. And so that will tie in really closely with the livestock center and equestrian pavilion. And those, activities and programs and events can use both spaces. And so we will be able to use those spaces year round. And so, it's going to be funded. Phase two of this, you know, the agricultural portion of phase two from the Heritage Campaign perspective is going to be funded partly privately and partly publicly. We're really focused on the private piece right now. It's a $4 million campaign. We're, well on our way thanks to contributions from Stockman Bank and some other big donors who will be announcing here in the near future. So that's really where we are. You know, we're really focused on this private piece for phase two, knowing that some of it will also have to be funded publicly.
And we'll talk more about that as we come on back. Emily Brock is with us, director of the Missoula County Fairgrounds. Billy Ayers, we'll talk with her too, as she kind of grew up in eastern Montana, you know, the world famous Miles City Bucking Horse Sale. I wonder if we got one of those coming in western Montana. Bob Burns is with us too, Missoula Market President for Stockman Bank and Chair of the Missoula Fairgrounds Foundation. But later on, too, Commissioner John Ostlin from Yellowstone Counties will talk about the new renovation plans and proposals for Metro Park. It is from Montana for Montana. Is this a Halloween edition? I guess so.
Napa Know How.
At Napa, buy a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 motor oil and save $10 on a pair of wiper blades. It's the perfect autumn deal. Mobil 1 for colder weather, new wipers for the rain, and an extra $10 to buy Halloween candy you'll most likely eat yourself. We're not judging. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating locations, does not include taxes and fees. Advertised sale price not available in some states. Ends 10/31/21.
Welcome back from the Northern News Network. It's Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. We're talking about ag traditions. That's kind of the focus of phase two for the Heritage Campaign at the Missoula County Fairgrounds. And a number of guests are with us here for the first part of the program. As I mentioned, Emily Brock, director there, Billy Ayers, events and operations manager, and then Bob Burns from Stockman Bank, Missoula Market President there, and he also chairs the Missoula Fairgrounds Foundation. So I'll start with you, Billy, because as I mentioned, I saw that you kind of grew up in eastern Montana. You've been part of that bucking horse sale. You know the tradition there. Emily had mentioned there's ag traditions, a big focus here. I played a little bit of curling when I was in Missoula. I know the ice folks there. There's a big need for more ice. I think you guys have the largest hockey organization in the state of Montana. How do you balance all those needs right now? And this renovation, I suppose, or these new plans are a big part of managing that going forward.
So I'll jump in. This is Emily. I'll jump in on the balancing piece and then let Billy talk to you about the ag piece. It is challenging. But we really worked. We put in the work of starting about 3 years ago to really set the tone that a rising tide lifts all boats on the fairgrounds. And that just because one project is coming before another doesn't mean that it's more important or that the whole thing's not going to happen. And so now we have this awesome group of stakeholders who are, you know, folks that understand that when the fairgrounds does well, they do well. And so, you know, that includes the ICE folks, and they will be part of phase two also. It's just that we are focusing on the ag piece today. But yes, we are. And you know, our ICE community in Missoula, we have more users in Missoula of ICE than Minnesota does. So the per capita ICE usage in Missoula is impressive.
I know. You know,
Minnesota is the heart.
Off the charts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's just a relentless commitment to positivity for all of the projects and just shutting down, you know, anything negative. And all of our stakeholders have really understand that now, and they're on the same page. But Billy, do you want to jump in about Miles City and kind of those traditions you're trying to bring here?
Well, sure. It actually, everything about what we're doing here and what fairgrounds in general do is they're a place for community where people who are from different backgrounds can sit together and share a moment. And those moments are becoming more and more rare. And we really focused this year on our rodeo because it really celebrates community. It's a really unique sport. And we're trying to bring what happens behind the chutes, like you see at the Bucking Horse Sale, and bring it forward into the audience. And that's what we're doing here at the fairgrounds. Everything is focused on community and how the events that we'll actually be bringing into these new spaces add value to our community and our cultural heritage. And so we're actually weighing that as a measurement when we consider new programming as part of our pieces. So this year's fair, you know, I'm sure you guys saw the same thing in Billings there. It was just a great year. People showed that they wanted to come back to the fairgrounds. They wanted to reconnect with their neighbors. And this year was just exceptional for the industry. You know, we saw an attendance that topped 95,000, which was up 17% from 2019. Our carnival broke 500,000 for the first time and had its first ever $100,000 day. And then, of course, we, you know, wanted to spread out and socialize. And so we took down the fence to our beer gardens and we saw a 46% increase in our alcohol sales, and our concession sales went up as well, 22%. And we had no incidences at the fairgrounds this year at all. So we are seeing with the rodeo and the way that we have reorganized it and going forward, building in that community infrastructure to be part of the performance, we saw a 27% increase with our sellout crowds every night. And then the Fiesta Resistance is the 4-H and livestock sale at every county fair. And we had a tremendous response this year, exceeding all previous years by more than $100,000. So we're just so grateful to be in this community and to be a part of it and to be a part of what is going on with the new direction of Midtown. We just look to be the center of that and celebrate our differences here.
Yeah, Bob, thank you, Billy. I'm going to run out of time here. Bob, I wanted to ask you the straight-out question, you know, the economic impact. I know you guys are measuring that. Why should businesses, why should the public invest? I mean, there was bonds for $14 million. Now there's another $4 million a public-private kind of campaign going on. Why should people invest?
That's really the value proposition, Tom, and something that as we sit down with folks, we really, that's the explanation that we give. I mean, it's really trying to sell the value of our community, as Billy mentioned, right in the heart of Missoula in Midtown. It's a great place to gather, and it's critically important for our youth and our Western heritage. And as we've sat with folks, you know, I think they've all really embraced already what's gone on at the fairgrounds. It's quite impressive for those that haven't been out there for a little while. And I would just encourage folks, it's going to be just a great place to gather for Western Montana. And to Emily's point, it benefits a great deal of people across many fronts. And we're excited about it and so ready to get it across the finish line.
New arena and grandstands, looking at new livestock, equestrian pavilion, And those, I think, are all vital components moving forward, too. We're out of time, you guys, but I know, Emily, people can contact you through the Missoula County Fairgrounds or just do a web search for the Heritage Campaign and weigh in on needs and weigh in on support as well. Thank you all.
Sure, yep. Bye-bye.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Bob, Emily, and Billy Ayers. All right, got to take a quick break, and then Yellowstone County Commissioner John Auslin is joining us in studio. It's really cool. We'll talk about, this most recent Yellowstone County Fair, but the Metro Park plans for renovations there, too. First, here's Brian Bennett with headlines.
Letting your sizzling, pepper-crusted steak rest a few minutes after you pull it off the grill ain't easy. We know. Hunger pushes your willpower to the brink as your steak takes in all its juices, becoming more flavorful and tender by the moment. Seconds feel like centuries, but when the wait is over, it's so, so worth it. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
Brought to you by Montana Beef Producers and Checkoff Dollars.
You know, we talked about it. There's history, there's commerce, there's trade, And a big ag focus as well when we talk about our county fairgrounds, not only the fair, but the year-round activities that take place there. Renovations on the table for Missoula County, also at Metro Park here in Yellowstone County. And I'm Tom Schultz, back with John Auslin, who's the Yellowstone County Commissioner. Good to see you, John.
Good to see you, Tom. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Appreciate that. Did you guys have a pretty big fair?
We had a great fair, record fair again this year. In fact, with 2 days of rain in the middle of all that heat, that really kind of put the damper on things, still was a record fair.
Why? Just the pent-up kind of thing, but...
I think that, but I think we put a good fair on this year. We had great entertainment, had a huge ag presence in 4-H, and, we had a lot of things that the people wanted to see, and the carnival's an important component. 4-H and the animals are an important component. Entertainment's an important component. Dig It Days was a big hit. You know, they're out there trying to help little kids and young people learn about the trades and have an opportunity to actually go and witness some of them, you know, move the controls, run a backhoe, and see, quite honestly, that there's some great jobs out there in the construction industry that a lot of young people have overlooked.
Let's talk about that a little bit. What was the process of you guys saying, hey, Dig It Days, come to Metro Park for that?
You know, Jonathan McNiven started that, and he really pushed it, and he moved it over to Metro Park this year. Worked incredibly well. The governor was there, and we had some competitions where people in these big backhoes and trackhoes actually had a spoon tied to the bucket, and they moved eggs without breaking them.
Is that right?
And I was standing right in front of the guy that won the competition. He did it like less than 2 minutes, moved a couple eggs in there. And I mean, it was incredible. These guys are talented.
Yeah, I've seen them, too. I've seen them at work, and when they're good, they're good. But when they're not so good, you know.
Well, you stand back a little further.
I won't go there. So when did this process begin? Because, you know, we talked about Missoula County Western Montana Fair. I think they debated for years and years. I was a member of that community, and they just didn't know what to do and where to go with their fairgrounds, and they finally got some direction. What's the process here for Metro Park?
Well, we've been talking about it for a number of years, too, but actually a year and a half, 2 years ago, we really started down this formal master plan process, and I have to hand it, Tom, to our Metro Advisory Board, Charlie Loveridge, and the advisory board members. We have a really dedicated board. They're all professionals. A lot of them have owned businesses in Billings, Montana, and they're in here helping us with our master plan. Done a great job of kind of sorting things out and seeing, making recommendations on where we're going to go. And we're a long ways down that path right now. We just hired a company called Perkins and Will, and they'll be in Monday talking to everybody around the fairgrounds, and they're gonna kind of formalize. We've had a local architect helping with a lot of it, you know. But they're actually in the business. That's what they do. They can help us finalize the plans. You know, we have plans for an open air theater. We have plans for maybe another event center. We have plans to expand the expo center. And you look across the road, we've torn down a lot of the old stalling barns, put up some new covered stalling that's much more concentrated. We're in the process right now of building a new big storage building. A couple of years ago, we built $1 million ag building that has wash bays in it for 4-H and, you know, kind of promote the ag component of our facility. And we got camper parking on the horizon and additional parking. Highway 87, and you're well aware.
Before you get into that, we got a breakup coming here, so we'll come on back and talk more about that, you know, the costs and the benefits and how you weigh all those particular needs here on Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
General season is here. In 2021, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will continue CWD surveillance in specific priority surveillance areas in northwestern, north central, southwestern, and south central Montana. If you harvest a deer, elk, or moose in these areas, please stop at a CWD sampling station for free testing. For station locations, assistance with sampling your animal, and proper carcass disposal, visit fwp.mt.gov/CWD.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you again for being here. Appreciate that. Two decades strong, working on three, and just kind of a little happy Halloween to you. And like I say, it's not something that I celebrate a ton. Of course, I did when I was a kid because, you know, there was something in it for me. But got a big bag of candy, and so if y'all want to stop by the house, half of it might be there by Sunday. Thank you again. John Oslin is with us in studio. Yeah, that was Michael Jackson's Thriller, typical Halloween. Great video, too. It's really, really, really good. Can't let Halloween go by without at least referencing that one. Commissioner John Oslin from Yellowstone County. Earlier, we talked about Western Montana and the Western Montana Fairgrounds, looking at their renovations, of course, the Metro Park. And the county fairgrounds here. It's a bigger spread, John. I mean, it's
189 acres.
189 acres. Yeah. And so there are opportunities there. But I guess I wanted to get into this this competition or, I don't know if it's really necessarily a competition, but it's a regional fair. I mean, it's going to attract not only acts, but people from all across the state of Montana. And honestly, these entertainment venues are competing. Now more than ever.
They do compete more than ever, Tom, and we do attract statewide, I'll tell you what. And even in the ag production of our 4-H this year, we had animals come in from all over, and we're glad to have them, and it was part of the competition, and it really helped improve the attendance at our fair. You'd be surprised how many people come down and just want the ag component. They want to walk through the barns. They want the kids to see the animals. You know, they got pigs and sheep and cattle and horses. And then the artwork and all the other things that go along with the fair.
Is the rodeo's a big attraction too? Is it? And there's more than just one rodeo going on over there too.
Yep.
What's the movement on a permanent dirt facility? Because I know it's expensive to haul the dirt in, haul the dirt out, and maybe that's cost prohibitive for more rodeo or ag events related. But what's the movement?
That has been a big issue going on, and a lot of the big rodeos, you know, Chase Hawks have been there 25 years. That's probably the premier rough stock rodeo in the country today. It started in Billings, Montana as a group to help fund people that have trouble. And the Nile has their rodeo there, you know, Wrangler team roping and all that. It's very expensive to move the dirt in the Metra, move it out, and then clean up afterwards. And a lot of these competitions and Wrangler team roping maybe is the best one, where it's more an event for teams than spectators. The families are basically the spectators. We have looked at every opportunity to build a dirt arena, and we're looking at an event center that could very well be a dirt arena also, 3,000 to 5,000 people.
Right.
But I think you're going to see the expo center, which actually has a bigger footprint inside than the Metra arena, and it's a big component of Wrangler team roping. I think that's going to probably land in the primary spot to have dirt in at least half of the year for the Arabian Horse Show and all the other things that really come down to the facility and don't want to pay a lot. And we found some new ways that we can separate that too, so we can put dirt in a smaller part of the expo center and surround it with basically some barricades that hold the dirt in, and then we'll have spectator seating and that. So it's all being worked out in the master plan, and I'm very optimistic we're going to serve everybody extremely well when we're done.
Well, that leads to one question here. I don't want to forget the trucks and the BMX. You know, when we talk about a dirt track, and it's interesting that you find new ways of sort of handling these things when you start looking into this. But I think for the Metro Park plan, there's been a lot of opportunity for public comment, and that gives you these ideas, and you start exploring these avenues. But it can also not only create consensus, but it can kind of create division too. But talk about the public process. Who's weighing in here, and how's it help focus your plan?
Well, we've had a really good public process, and we hired a company, Kinetic Engineering, and they went out and put on a lot of, in fact, the commissioners attended them. We were in Shepherd and Laurel and Lockwood and, you know, all over the place with public meetings, took public input along the way. We've had a lot of conversations with the school district. You know, they'd like to have an athletic field down there. And we did that, and we had our engineers and architects actually do overlays, Tom. And unfortunately, it just didn't fit the footprint with the things that we want to do down there. You'd think 189 acres is a big complex, and it is a big complex, but you've got the arena sitting in part of that. A huge component of that is parking. Another big component of it is trailers and horse trailers and RVs and the fair. When the fair comes in, they've got a big contingent of trailers that they live in, RVs, trailers that they pull, that they move their equipment in, and you have to have room for all those things. Highway 87, right out in front of us, there's a project coming down the road 2 years from now, Tom, and it's going to put a slip lane in. It's going to take a big part of our footprint around the edge, which will really help us. We can afford to lose that to move the traffic more efficiently. Yeah. And then we've got a study back, and we're going to put a traffic light in here between this intersection in front of you and the bridge that will have controlled access in and out of Metra, and which would be much better, much safer, and allow us to access the new parking and the new RV facilities that we plan to put on this side of the footprint.
It's really good when you get a chance to re-examine the needs and re-examine the flow and things like that, and especially as you look back at the historic uses and needs. You know, it's a different world now than it was back then. How do you manage all that? There was some news today that you're looking at possibly doing that from the private versus the public side.
You know, Tom, glad you brought that up, and we are, my colleagues want to look at the private management opportunities for Metro Park and public management. And we want to be careful that we're comparing apples to apples. We have so many great public-private partnerships right now. For example, Brad Anderson come on, and he works with the Exchange Club to provide alcohol down there. Hard alcohol and beer, and with his help and guidance and through the Exchange Club and Brad, the last concert we had was a record for alcohol sales. It was because they went out of the box and they put up a lot more stands, you know, to reduce the lines, the portions of that.
Yeah.
We got public partnerships and private partnerships with Fuddruckers, with the Baskin-Robbins. You know, the Nile is one of the huge promoters down there. You know, they put on the PBR and they've got their trade show, and then the Nile event, which is, you know, 10 days, a couple of weeks, at least by the time you put set up and tear down in there. And so we have a lot of great public private partnerships now. And in the process of looking for a new GM, we have interviewed some general manager candidates right now. What I found was really interesting, the first one that we interviewed, when we got through with the interview, I asked him, I said, you know, would you work in a public or privately run facility? He'd worked in both. And he said what I believe to be a fact, that local control is the most important component. You can have good public-private partnerships. There are some privately managed facilities and publicly managed facilities. Both can work well depending on the location and what they, how they serve the public. There's not many places like Metro Park. This is unique in the industry, and the fair, we have a big fair meeting coming up in November here. Everybody, when you talk about Metro Park, I don't care if you're in Dallas, Texas, or New York, knows who Metro is and what we do. And maybe Wenatchee, Washington is close to what we do. But a lot of these little arenas and stuff are a lot different. It's pretty easy to manage the Superdome out there where they put on a lot of football games. You're really selling tickets and hot dogs and then managing the infrastructure.
Right, but yeah.
We do something here every year, and this crew is full-time, and they're busy all of the time, and I'm kind of big on local control. I want to keep our partnership with the Nile. I want to keep our partnership with 4-H. I want to keep our partnership with the trade shows. That's going to be a huge component for me going forward, to make sure that we take care of our local community. This is the economic engine, Dom. This is what drives everything. None of these arenas actually make money. That's why they're all publicly funded instead of privately built. If you privately built it, there's a really good chance you could never sell enough tickets at a price high enough to make the facility pay.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so yeah. So we do these public-private partnerships, and we subsidize the Metro facility and the fairgrounds so that it drives the trade and entertainment in Yellowstone County, fills up the hotels, fills up the retail shops, gas stations, restaurants. You know, our mission statement has got to be a very big consideration in our decision going forward.
I think the businesses and the public understand that connection, understand the need for public funding on these sorts of things. What's too much? What's the balance on that?
Well, the balance is, you know, the most efficient run business that you can have is the best balance. So you want to make as much money as you can to reduce the subsidy that the taxpayers have to put in. I don't think that number will ever be zero.
Right.
You know, there's too big.
How much is it now?
Component. We put in several $1 million of taxpayer money every year into the Metro.
And the local economy probably generates or garners maybe, what, 50, 60 million?
100? North of 100 million.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this has a huge impact on everything in Billings. Nile Week, you look at the – drive by a parking lot, Tom. Just pick a retail store, Costco, and you'll find all these out-of-state and out-of-county plates in there every time there's an event at the Metro.
Let's see what I got. I'll take a break here now, and then we'll come back. Don't want to forget, you know, the egg focus, because as we have sort of chatted here, that's something that maybe goes under the radar in Montana a little bit. All the various tentacles of how that spurs and really is the foundation for our economy. We're coming back with more Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund today here on Voices of Montana.
Imagine income for life, saving money on your taxes,
and helping troubled children.
Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Foundation gift annuities generate lifetime income with payout rates as high as 8.6%.
And gift annuities qualify for the 40% Montana Endowment Tax Credit,
generating state and federal tax savings for Yellowstone donors. Contact Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Foundation today.
Or visit us online at yellowstonefoundation.org.
All right, welcome back. Tom Schultz alongside Northern News Network. It's Voices of Montana. And, happy Halloween. All right. I don't know. I like the Halloween songs. I don't mind the candy. But the witches scare me and the spiders. Well, I'm not bad with spiders, but my daughter is. So we always put up a spider for Halloween. John Ostlund is with us, Yellowstone County Commissioner. What, you got a bag of candy around the house that you're trying not to dip into, Commissioner?
Well, we do have a couple of bags of candy, but we live way out, you know, kind of out in the county. We don't have any close neighbors, so I'm afraid I'm going to have to consume most of it.
Yeah, twist my arm. Gotcha. Let's return to the egg focus here, because as maybe I hinted coming before the break there, is that it's still Montana's largest industry. It spurs almost everything else. Our county fairgrounds, there's a huge focus on it. Is there an appropriate focus on it?
I think there's absolutely an appropriate focus on it. You know, Niall's been our partner down there on the fairgrounds for close to five decades. 4-H is an enormous component down there. And the commissioners put $5,000 a year out of our budget just into the Niall for their 4-H education program. And Tom, that amount of kids that come down there that are bussed in for those classes that teach them, you know, a lot of kids in town have never seen a cow. They don't understand about farm economics or how crops are grown or how they're harvested or whatever. So, I mean, that is a huge part of our event center down here, our fair, agriculture, our impact, our horse shows down there. You know, the grandstands went away, horse racing went away about 10 or 11 years ago, and the grandstands were crumbling down. And in order to replace them, we evaluated it, and it just didn't make economic sense to put $20 million into something that didn't have a revenue picture. So we're looking at all of the other opportunities down there. Bill Dutcher's leaving the end of the year. I'll tell you what, he's a great, been a great leader for the Metro Park and been a great general manager. Don't matter where you go in the fair industry, you go down to Dallas, Texas, or Oregon, or California, or New York, they know who Bill Dutcher is, and everybody knows who the Metro is. And we made the top spot. I think we actually come in above some of the big fairgrounds in New York and California. I think we're in the top 50, I believe.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Event centers in the country.
Bill, a big part of that. He's a guy who will call you back. You
know? He is a guy that will call you back.
Yeah. I appreciate that. So let's update on the plan. There's still some options out there. You had the fair. I think you had an opportunity during the fair to get more public awareness of this plan. What's the process moving forward now?
Process moving forward, Perkins and Will is the latest organization we hired that really focuses only on master plans and that kind of development. They're going to come out Monday, go through our fairgrounds, talk to everybody, talk to the commissioners, talk to the Metro Board, talk to some of the user groups, and then they'll go back with everything we've gathered up so far and probably put together some realistic numbers of what it might cost to build some of these things and then what kind of revenue it will take to sustain it and what kind of events you may be able to bring to Billings that weren't here before that you have the opportunity to with a bigger footprint and more facilities. And so we're excited about that. That'll probably take a month or 6 weeks. But we're headed down that path pretty quick.
I suppose there's a big difference between some of these events, like entertainment probably is a pretty good revenue generator, but you have needs out there like perhaps maybe the sports facilities. I think you guys are looking at maybe another indoor football league. I think ice hockey is trying to return here. I don't have a ton of time. I guess I got a minute or so.
Indoor football's coming back.
Yep.
So we're going to have arena football in there. And, of course, a lot of the things we didn't talk about, too, will be upgrades to the Metro Park itself. You know, it's shown some age. Even though we had the big rebuild after the hailstorm, this group will help us remodel that so we can be the most efficient, get people in the quickest through the doors and through the metal detectors when that's required by the promoter and all those things. Yep. So we have a lot of upgrades on the horizon.
The focus is always looking forward to, how long will this master plan, do you think, last?
Well, we're trying to look forward 50 years, Tom, 50 years? Or more.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal because this will take a big part of our footprint up. Right now, one of the hottest things seems to be amphitheaters, and they talk about the number of shows that this will come in, smaller shows. It will free up the expo, and it will free up the Metro for other events. So we can have simultaneous events, which we do all the time going on. You might have an event in the pavilion, one in the expo center, a gun show, and another one going on in the arena. So we're looking at every option we can find.
Big process. But, when you spend the right amount of time on it, there's big rewards on the other side, too.
There is.
Yeah. Thank you for your time here.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin. Want to thank Eric Young, our in-studio engineer. Tom Schultz, I think it's Tuesday. We're doing Rural Montana Live. So we'll talk about some community solar projects. We'll talk about the Washington Youth Tour for our rural students. So that's ahead. And also, I don't have time for it. You guys have a good weekend. See you Monday.